You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
During the Great Depression, the movies provided Americans with an inexpensive escape from the economic problems they faced, and with the advent of talkies, they could actually hear the actors they saw on screen. William Eng, the protagonist of New York Times best-selling author Jamie Ford's new novel, Songs of Willow Frost, is a Chinese-American orphan living in Depression-era Seattle who becomes convinced that movie star Willow Frost is his long-lost mother. After seeing her on the silver screen, he sets out to find her, and in doing so, unravels the secrets of both their pasts. Songs of Willow Frost is published by Ballantine Books, and I'm very pleased it has brought Jamie Ford to our show today. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
When the novel starts, William is living in an orphanage. This is 1934. Mm-hmm. How long has he been living there?
He's been living there 5 years. I mean, he last saw his mother when he was 7 years old and watched her body being carried out to the hospital. And he's been led to believe that she's passed away.
Well, are all of the children living there orphans in the traditional sense, with both parents dead?
Truly, the majority of the orphans had at least one living parent. That was the norm during the Depression.
Because they just couldn't support their kids.
Yeah, they couldn't. I actually did a book event a couple weeks ago, and a woman came up to me, and she had driven 127 miles to come to the book event. And she said, "Hi, my name's Margaret, and I grew up at the Sacred Heart Orphanage," when her mother dropped her and her siblings off.
That's the name of the orphanage here. Mm-hmm. This is a real orphanage.
It is.
What were children like William told had happened to their parents?
You know, a lot of them, the communication was limited. In some cases, the sisters didn't want to give them false hope by thinking that their parents were going to come back.
Did they ever come back?
Some they did. But in the case of Margaret, who was the real person, her mother came back one time to bring them winter coats, and she never saw her mother again. So I think the sisters sheltered the kids a little bit.
Is Sacred Heart still functioning today in Seattle?
The building is still there. It's a private school now. It's called the Villa Academy.
Was it okay? There are, you know, orphanages. Dickens gave orphanages
sure.
a bad name.
Yeah. I think we would consider the treatment there to be somewhat harsh and heavy-handed, but I think the sisters did the best they could, and it certainly beat being sent to a reformatory or starving on the street.
How often were they adopted?
Wow. I have a feeling not many were. As far as in the sense of a true adoption, I think the parents either came to get them or they lived there till they were maybe 18.
And in William's case, he has an added problem. He's the only Chinese-American orphan at Sacred Heart. And race has always been a factor in a child's chances of being adopted.
Oh, yeah. Race is a factor. Race is a factor in self-identity, too. I mean, kids struggle to figure out who they are, but when you're already an outlier, you become a minority within a minority.
One of William's only friends is a blind girl named Charlotte, mm-hmm. and she's also aware that her chances
yeah.
are slim.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Charlotte really is one of my favorite characters. She's probably the bravest orphan in the orphanage, and she's a blind girl. And she doesn't see, but she feels things, so she's very perceptive.
How was William able to go to the movie theater where he sees Willem Frost on the screen?
Well, what they would do, and this is true, they would have a collective birthday, a collective celebration. The orphans wouldn't leave the premise but once per year, and so they would have this one outing to celebrate their collective birthday, and they'd go see a movie or they'd go do something, some sort of grand field trip.
And he went and saw mm-hmm. this film with a woman named Willow Frost. Now, I'd learned something from this book that I did not know. Washington State was a place that filmmakers like to make movies in these days, or is this something that you have created?
That I made out of whole cloth? No, it's true. I mean, before the film industry coalesced into Southern California, there were studios in Idaho and Wisconsin, and the third largest film studio for a brief shining moment was in Tacoma, Washington, called the H.C. Weaver Studios.
And why would anybody want to shoot up there where it's rainy and cold?
It's funny. You know, I think I say this half in jest, but before they figured out fake snow, they shot real snow. You know, they do these silent films on location, and if you wanted to shoot an exotic place, you went there. And so they couldn't go to Alaska, so they'd shoot on Mount Rainier, for instance.
Do you know that right now more films are being shot in Queens and Brooklyn than are being shot in Hollywood?
I believe it.
So things have...
Yeah, believe it.
Things
yeah.
keep on changing.
Yeah.
You've said that Willa Frost was inspired by your mother, your Chinese grandmother, and the famous actress Anna May Wong. Did you write the book in order to address something that your own family experienced?
Yeah. I mean, just respect and admiration for what the women in my family went through. I mean, my mom, my Chinese grandmother had a child out of wedlock during the Depression. I mean, she's a Chinese woman. She really is someone that in later years, she was this alpha female. And I always wondered how she got there despite her struggles. So it's an exploration of hardship and overcoming those hardships.
Anna May Wong was pretty much the only Chinese-American movie star at the time, wasn't she?
Yeah. I mean, my heart breaks when I think of anime because she was a huge star at the time, but she was too American to have a Chinese suitor, a Chinese husband. And she dated all of these Caucasian men in Hollywood, but because of the miscegenation laws, she could never marry a Caucasian man. So I think she died of a broken heart, honestly.
She also lost out on the opportunity to play Olan in the movie version of Pearl Buck's
yeah.
Good Earth. To
yeah.
Louise Reiner. Now, Louise Reiner was a guest on the show. I never had Anna May Wong. And believe it or not, she's 103 years old
Holy
and
cow.
Still alive. But in those days, a lot of the Asian roles were played by, Warner Olin played mm-hmm. Charlie Chan, and
yep.
Peter Lorre played Mr. Moto. How come Anna May Wong didn't get the role, other than the fact that Louise Reiner won 2 Academy Awards and was a very great actress?
Yeah, I mean, there was a stigma. I mean, she was fascinating. She was this exotic actress, but she could never be the hero. I mean, she died in her roles. Until she went to Europe, she could never play a leading role. She could never have an on-screen kiss.
She was the inscrutable dragon lady.
She was the dragon lady.
My guest is Jamie Ford, whose follow-up to his best-selling novel, Hotel on the Corner of Bitter and Sweet, is Songs of Willow Frost. And wasn't Anna May Wong's birth name Liu Zong?
It was.
Which means Willow Frost?
Yeah, that was the nod in the title. Anna May's birth name translates to Yellow Willow Frost.
So you decided to give your character that name as well?
Definitely as an homage.
Does the Willow Frost in this novel experience similar discrimination to what Anna May Wong faced?
She does, and she experiences a lot more personal hardship, familial struggles, than Anna May did. I mean, Anna May rose really far, really fast, and hit the ceiling of where she could go quickly, early in her career, and had to jump to Europe. And this doesn't carry Liu Song that far. But definitely the struggles she had as a younger girl probably exceed what Anna May went through.
How well did Anna May Wong do in Europe? I know that she was in a couple of British films. Was she in a film called Piccadilly?
Yeah. She did really well. I mean, she was there with Marlene Dietrich. She had an acceptance there that she never had in the U.S., but it was a smaller audience compared to the gala and the glamour of Hollywood at the time.
What memories does William have of his mother?
You know, he has these half-whispered memories of childhood, and they've been mingled with the stories he's been told of what's happened to his mother. He doesn't know fact from fiction all the way, and he's a kid prone to daydreaming anyway. So he remembers his mom singing. He remembers his mom telling him stories.
And then he becomes convinced that Willa Frost is his mother?
Absolutely.
Even though he'd been told she died?
I know. He sees her, and he's certain it's her, and then when he hears her voice on screen, he is convinced.
Well, we often hear that films during the Depression were strongly escapist, mm-hmm. and here we have somebody who lives in his imagination.
Exactly. Yeah, he's someone that definitely, I mean, the films literally and figuratively are his path to his history and something better.
I don't want to reveal too much.
The spoilers.
There are spoilers. Some reviewers reveal the spoilers, and I always wonder what the authors or the movie makers think of that.
Sure.
Gee, I worked so hard to spring that as a surprise.
I know. Yeah, I did a book event one time, and during the Q&A, this woman, a lovely woman, she stands up, and the body of her question gave away the entire ending of the book. I thought the book group ladies around here were just going to rise up and just beat her down with their purses.
Your last novel, Hotel on the Corner of Bitter and Sweet, that was your only other novel, right?
That was The Maiden Voyage, yes.
It's about a friendship formed between a Chinese boy and a Japanese girl in post-Pearl Harbor World War II America, been described as a wartime-era Chinese-Japanese variation on Romeo and Juliet.
Sure.
And then it became a bestseller.
Yeah. Yeah, books take on a life of their own. I always with Hotel, I say my book has a career. I'm just along for the ride. And I stole that from Pamela Anderson, who said my boobs have a career. I'm just along for the ride.
But there have been a lot of Romeo and Juliet variations. What do you think it is about that book that resonated so well with readers?
We all relate to long lost love. I mean, there's a reason people lose 20 pounds before their class reunions. I mean, these people are like Halley's Comet. They come around once or twice in our lifetime, and they affect our gravity.
You are, you're part Chinese-American, but very, only a small, I don't know how to say this, but you have to look twice to even see
sure,
that.
Yeah.
Has that affected your life?
You know, growing up,
Seattle is a sophisticated town, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, everyone struggles for identity. And I think when you're half something, I'm half Chinese on my dad's side.
So that's one quarter, whatever that means.
Yeah.
One quarter Chinese.
No, my dad was full Chinese. Oh. He spoke Cantonese. So I'm half, but because my last name is Ford, that's confounding for people. Also, because I didn't speak Cantonese like the rest of my family, I never felt Chinese enough. And then my Caucasian friends would come over and, you know, we're eating chicken feet or something like that. That's very Chinese. And then I realize, you know, you struggle for who you are.
You know no Cantonese if I say Joseon?
Yeah, good morning. Yes, I speak toddler Cantonese.
Or Gedochin.
You're going to lose me there in the dialect. My dad had a very country dialect.
You live in Montana, but both of your books have taken place in Seattle.
True.
Are you going to continue writing historical novels that are set in Seattle?
At least one more. You know, I find that writers often write about what they lament, and I miss the Seattle that I grew up in. I miss the Seattle of my dad's childhood and my grandfather's childhood.
So why have you left Seattle, where so many people are moving these days?
You know, I like it out in Montana. I find there's a lot of authors squirreled away out there. It's get some work done there. If I move back to Seattle, I don't think I would write about Seattle. I'd have to write about Montana or someplace else.
So you need that distance.
I do. I think I do.
And the historical aspect of these books?
I just like history. I like the research. I like turning over historical rocks and looking at the squishy things underneath. I think that's more interesting.
Songs of Willow Frost is published by Ballantine Books. My great thanks to Jamie Ford for being our guest today.
Thank you so much for having me.